baby boy is Lord of all creation.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nation?
Heaven's perfect land,
and this sleeping child you're holding is the great I am.
Did you know everyone, welcome to church. Would you like to get up on your feet? We are going to praise the Lord. Welcome to our carol service, and we're really excited to see you this morning. And we are going to sing Joy to the World, but with a little twist.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come, let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven, heaven and nature sing.
Goes like this.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, he is my hope.
Sing.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. Joe!
Sing it out, church.
The joy, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, He is my hope. Oh, He is my hope.
Sing one more time.
The joy, the joy, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Our first reading today is from Luke 1, 26 to 35. So in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." So Mary... Ah, it's behind me. That's great. It's a little bit too small on that screen. It's behind me. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." And I think for me, and then Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." Jesus come and fulfilled that actually we don't need to be so downcast. And for me, I've in my life, I've had periods of discouragement, periods of actually, oh no, this is happening. And sometimes I don't see the bigger picture of Jesus, the bigger picture that actually God's sent his son. There was a miracle released when Jesus was born, that it was a miracle that Mary conceived Jesus, the hope of the world. And I look around me today and I'm so excited and I'm so amazed at the miracles that Jesus has done in people's lives, that even this year we've seen miracles in the church. We've seen Jesus move in amazing ways. We've seen hope. We've seen restoration. I look behind me and I see these amazing ladies and Omid on the guitar, and I see miracles that God is our provider, that God is good in every circumstance. And then on the screen behind me is a little video of our little baby, and he's very, very cute. And the miracle that actually new life. And it doesn't mean that having a baby is the only miracle. I think that there's so many miracles that Jesus brings into our world. But I think it's a symbol of hope. It's a symbol that actually Jesus has come and brought us life and life to the full. That he's come and he brings us new life. And this Christmas, I'm so encouraged by the fact that there is new life. It's very, very cute. So we had that done last Saturday. But I'm encouraged this Christmas that I don't need to be so downcast, so discouraged. Psalm 42 is like, "Why, my soul, are you downcast?" I actually can hope in God, because God can bring a hope and a future. He can restore every promise, everything that was ever lost. And my life is a testimony to that, of feeling like actually everything is lost. I'm never going to make anything of my life. And then realizing the grace and the hope of Jesus. And I'm going to invite up Lisa, and I'm going to invite up Taranae, and they're going to do a reading, which is very exciting. So.
From a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice. His ancestor David from all eternity, the possession, commitment of the Lord of Heaven's enemies with make this happen.
이는 하나이가 우리에게 낳고 하나들을 우리에게 주신 바 되었는데 그의 어깨는 정사를 메었고 그의 이름은 여자야 모사라. 전능하신 하나님이라 연주하신 아버지라 평강을 많이 할 것입니다.
Thank you. Kids are gonna go around with some chocolate. Feel free to sit down, and we're just gonna sing you a little jingle.
Every year at Christmas, we tell the story of the wise men traveling far from the east to bring gifts to Jesus and his family. Well, here at our church, we've got lots of wise men, women, and children who've come as refugees from Iran, and each has brought something unique. All of them are wonderful people, good people, kind people. Many of them have had to flee persecution and have left behind homes, loved ones, work, and much more. However, every single one of them found Jesus as a person who's not just part of an old story, but active today to save, heal, and transform them. It's been our joy and privilege to walk with them in their journey and see God's miracles unfolding in their lives. We've had stories of lost friends being reunited, freedom from trauma and past hurts, hope for a new life filled with peace and joy and adventure, physical injuries and sicknesses being healed by the miraculous power of God, and much more. Each individual has a story to tell. This is one of those stories.
Hi, my name is Azzy. I'm here with my husband Navid and my little boy Ian. Our journey as a Christian has been a testament to the power of the faith and the strength of the prayers and the miracles that God can help work in your life. In September of 2021, Navid and I, asylum seekers, which facing with unimaginable challenges, have received incredible news that we are going to. However, our joy shadowed very soon by the revelation that our twins share the blood vessels and it's necessary to do a complex surgery to separate them. Despite the best effort of medical teams, the surgery wasn't successful, so they told us we would lose both of our precious sons. And we turned to the prayers, and the days and nights passed, and after a few months our sons have heartbeats. And it was a miracle of God and a sign of God and a glimmer of hope in the darkest hours. In February, our precious son Liam left us, and as a mother, I felt his presence in my heart even before the ultrasound confirmed his departure. It was if he can spoke to his brother saying that I can't go any further, I must stay here, you should take care of our parents and be their savior. And in the beginning of the March, Ian born, come to this world very prematurely at just 27 weeks with a host of challenging health challenging. He had undeveloped lung, defect heart and that needs required to closure, and a clot in his brain and anemia. For 100 days, we watch over Ian in the hospital, and we praying for his well-being. And God, in His infinite mercy, show us his miracle, only alive but completely healthy and strong. During this hard time, we can do that without the help and the support of our friends, our family, and our community church. For example, Galindo and Alf offering visit us regularly, and Chris and Rachel offer regular support and calls. And dear John Nash conveyed the prayers of the sorry church that who lifts Ian up each week. It's built by the countless small and big miracles that God worked in your life that makes you strong, more strange, and show you the boundless love and grace of God. And I pray that all of us can see and touch the miracles that God happened and worked in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the third week in a row at church where I've had to hold back tears. So I've done my best. I've done my best. But isn't that moving? Isn't that wonderful? And isn't that strangely familiar at Christmas time? A refugee family from the Middle East, a crisis in pregnancy and at the time of birth, and yet somehow, despite having to leave their home, leave everything they know, God is able to work a miracle through them. If that's not Christmas, I don't know what is. So please do find Navid at the end of this. Give him a big hug, give him a handshake, because the works and the power and the glory of God have been operating through his pleasure, and it's my privilege. Thank you so much to everyone who's been a part of that journey. And it's my pleasure and it's my privilege right now to speak to you this morning a little bit on the theme of Christmas. I've got my bow tie, I've got my pocket watch. I don't normally dress like this on a Sunday, but maybe I should start. Any excuse I can get, really. And Christmas time, we've already heard. The conclusion about Christmas for me is that my view of Christmas has changed from when I was a child. Now, I loved Christmas as a child. I absolutely loved it, mainly because I got lots of presents. I went to sleep with an empty stocking at the end of my bed. I woke up first thing in the morning, gave it a kick, and it was magically full. And I got to spend the whole day enjoying all of the good stuff that Father Christmas had brought. But I remember as well in Cub Scouts and in school and in different things, everyone started to mention this little baby called Jesus who was born at the time. And I had no idea why everyone was making such a big fuss about him. And I remember one time when I was maybe about 6 or 7 years old, I was actually invited as part of my Cub Scouts, this group I was a part of, to do a reading in a church service. And I read Luke chapter 1 when the angel Gabriel goes to visit Mary, and I didn't know what it meant. I thought, Luke, why is Luke Skywalker from Star Wars in the Bible? Didn't understand a word of it, but it stayed with me for some reason. As I got to sit back down, I sat back down next to my parents, and I listened to the vicar come up to give a message. Now, my parents, being in a church, that's, you know, usually once a year type thing, and in fact, the last time my dad was in a church, either not including a wedding or a funeral, anything like that, was actually, took him a long time, up until last week. My parents have recently moved house to a little cottage in the countryside, and they've moved next door to an 80-year-old vicar and his wife. They went over and had tea and then went to the carol service, and my dad said, oh, you know, my son Christopher, he also leads a church. It's a bit different to yours. And this old vicar was like, oh, excellent, tell me more. And you know, that was his one and only experience of church for the year, once a year at Christmas time, and that was mine. But then I remember this joy. Now, all of us once, when I was little, and spoke about joy. Now, all of us want some more joy in our lives. I don't know what kind of year you've had. Maybe it's been great, your best year ever. Maybe it's been absolutely awful, your worst ever. Maybe, probably, it's somewhere in between, a bit of both. But all of us want to experience that joy of the Lord in our lives. And the way that this old vicar was describing joy, he said it's an acronym. True joy, lasting joy, joy that satisfies, is when you spell out J-O-Y, when you have Jesus first, others second, and yourself third. Now, little old me hearing that, I thought, that is absolute rubbish. Why on earth should I put other people first, be a doormat for other people, when Christmas should be all about me and the presents? And who is this Jesus? Why should I put a baby that I don't even know, that was born 2,000 years ago, at the center of my life? But again, it stuck with me. And I didn't know at the time that God was slowly but surely working in my heart, in my life, to unpack the true meaning of Christmas. And as I came to understand the true meaning of joy, I understood that putting others before myself is not being a doormat, is not just putting my needs at the behest of everyone else's, but others first is when we're all part of a community, especially at Christmas time, but all the year round, that is constantly outward focused, that is constantly looking to reach out with a hug or a handshake or a smile or the offer of coffee or a dinner. This baby Jesus who grew up to be a boy and then a man and then a teacher and preacher and then a miracle worker. What did it mean to put Jesus first? And as I started to read the Bible for myself, as I started to understand who understood that he is God. He is God stepping into our world. He is God becoming human. Now, I had this vague sense of, you know, oh, God, he's out there somewhere, and he knows your every thought, like he's constantly surveilling you and watching over you. But I didn't understand until I really, truly started to look at who Jesus was. That God not only is sitting up on a cloud somewhere in the distance, just watching your life, but God understands your life. He understands in the first person. Jesus is God become human. And Jesus grew up as a refugee, as someone who was on the run from someone who was threatened by him, who didn't want a new king, who wanted to kill him. Jesus had to flee to a different country, learn another language in his childhood. Jesus came from a poor family who had nothing. Jesus, when he grew up, spent his time with the social outcasts, with the tax collectors, with the prostitutes, with the sinners, with those that society had rejected and said, there's no place for you here. There's no room at the inn for you here. Those are the sort of people that Jesus embraced, that spent time with. He gathered a close friendship group of 12 ragtag fishermen and tax collectors and zealots and nobodies. And he said, you and me, together, we are going to change the world. And I don't know about you, but that's the kind of God that I can get behind. That's the kind of God that I can put first in my life. That's the kind of God that puts the J in joy when you put Jesus first. And I want to bring us back to that wonderful verse that Tarane read in English and Lisa read in Korean. Isaiah chapter 9. Now, these verses were written hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus was born. And yet, it is a promise from God in the winter of our lives, in the deepest, darkest, most difficult season of our lives. This is what God says to us. A child is born to us. Perhaps you've been looking out there and thinking, what is going on with the world? This is a promise from God, that he is making all things right. The government will be on his shoulders. And then I just want to draw your attention to who Jesus is for you. First of all, he is wonderful. Jesus in your life is wonderful. I don't know if you've been feeling that your life has been getting a bit stale, a bit boring, a bit difficult, where maybe Christmas meant something to you as a child, but growing up, the busyness of life, work and studies and deadlines and commitments and family life and debt and all of these sorts of things are starting to pile up and get in the way. This morning, this Christmas time, Jesus wants to reinstall wonder into your life because he is wonderful. The next thing, counselor, counselor. I don't know how your mental health is doing this Christmas time. Maybe Christmas isn't like the song goes for you. Perhaps it's very difficult for Christmas to be the most wonderful time of the year. If anything, it could be the most stressful time of the year. It's stressful for me just trying to figure out what to buy Rachel because she's so content all of the time. She's incredibly difficult to buy for. I managed to get something though. But counselor, how is your mind? How is your hope? How is your heart? How is your joy? How is your vision? Are you lost and confused and searching for direction in your world? Let me tell you, Jesus, at this Christmas time, he understands. And Jesus, this Christmas time, can be your counselor. The next one is mighty. Are you feeling weak and powerless and disappointed and broken and downtrodden in your life? God is mighty. That little baby didn't stay as a baby. He grew up, and he is now the name that is above all names. He is mighty God, and he wants to share his power and his glory with you if you just reach out to him. At the center of it all, he is God. He is God. He is the one who is able to rule your life, take the wheel of your life, give you direction in your life. He is the author of your life. He is the creator of your life. That little baby, like we were singing at the start, is the great I am. At the start of it all, God spoke reality into being. And when he did so, he lovingly crafted you, breathed his spirit, breathed his life into you. And he, as God, has a good plan and a good purpose and a good destiny for your life. The next thing, he is everlasting. He is not just a story for 2,000 years ago. He is alive for you today. I don't know if you've ever felt disappointed with a relationship that broke down, with a promise that was made to you that fell short, with something that you thought would last forever and didn't, with someone maybe that you lost or had to leave behind. God sees you in that situation, and God makes a promise to you. Jesus says, I am everlasting. I will never turn my back on you. I will never reject you. God, in Jesus, this Christmas time, is everlasting, and he will never go. He will never go. Then, Father, are you feeling, perhaps this morning, orphaned and alone, lonely, abandoned? God promises that he will never do that to you. The scripture says, we have received the spirit not of fear, not of slavery, but of adoption as sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are welcomed into his family this Christmas time. Now, Rachel and I are expecting our own child in really not that long to go, as you saw on the screen. He's not quite done cooking yet, but he will be ready soon. And we love him already. I put my head onto the bump and he kicks me in the face and I love it. And I know that we will love him. But there is one thing that we can never say about our child. You know, we love him. We want the best for him. We will do everything we can for him. But there is one thing that we could never do for him. And that one thing is, we could never have chosen him. See, he has his own life. He has his own personality. He will make his own decisions in life. He's not just a mini me or a mini Rachel. He's not a clone of us. He's his own person. We can't choose. We can try and guide him and shepherd him, but he will make his own choices in life. But the difference is, when God is your father, he steps into your life. Whether everything's all tidy and cleaned up, or whether everything feels like a wreckage, he steps in to the orphanage of your life. He sees you with all of your highs and lows, with all of your hopes and dreams, and with all of your fears and doubts, with all of your successes and with all of your failures. He sees it all. He sees you. And he says, I want that one. I want you. I choose you. I decide to adopt you into my family. I will make you my child. Every parent knows you can't always choose how your kids turn out. And God says, I choose you to be my child. And then the final one is this, Prince of Peace. Are you in anxiety or disappointment? God wants to be the ruler in your life, and his rule and his kingdom brings peace. Peace. In Hebrew, ancient Hebrew, where this was written, that word peace doesn't just mean, oh, isn't that lovely? Lovely and calm, lovely and restful. I can take a nap. That word peace, shalom, it means completeness. It means wholeness. Every single broken piece of your life can be fit back together in God's glorious, everlasting design. This is for you this Christmas time. Whether you've known Jesus all of your life, whether you had no idea why this little baby was so important, like me, and then you went on a journey of discovery and you found it out, or whether you've come in this morning and you have never heard Jesus' name before, I want to say to you, he is here. He's not just part of an old story. He is alive. He is God Almighty. And that little baby who grew up, who died for you, and then rose again for you, is walking amongst us this morning. And this Christmas time, this Christmas time, Jesus Christ himself is saying to you, open up your heart, open up your world, open up your life to me, let me in, and I can be for you wonderful. I can be your counselor. I can be mighty. I can be your strength in this world. I can be God, your ruler, your king. I can be everlasting and never let you go. I want to adopt you as your father. And I can be the Prince of Peace, completeness, wholeness in your life. In a moment, we're going to round off with a few more carols, and I'd like to invite the band back up onto the stage to get ready. But that is God's invitation to you this Christmas time. If you will let him in, if you will let him into your world, he can be all of this and more for you. This Christmas, let you in. Jesus, I choose you. How about for a moment, however you engage with God, maybe you want to close your eyes, maybe you want to lift your hands, maybe you want to put your hand on your heart, but I would love to pray for you in this moment. Jesus, thank you that you are walking amongst us this morning. Thank you, Jesus, that you have a plan and a purpose and a destiny for every single person. It's not just for the person they're sat next to. It's for them this morning. And thank you that when you see them, you see everything. And you're not afraid. You're not disgusted. You're not disappointed. But you are saying, my arms are wide open. Come home to me, my child. Come home to me, my child. Come home to me, my child. I've chosen you. I've adopted you. And I can be for you wonderful, counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This Christmas time, may they find you, and may 2024 start to be the best that is yet to come. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been a pleasure and a privilege to speak to you this morning, this Christmas time. We're going to go out with a couple more carols in just a moment. We're going to start with that classic, O Come All Ye Faithful. And we are going to respond to that invitation of Jesus this morning. Come. Come to the feet of Jesus. Engage. Don't let this moment pass you by. Come on, let's round off. Let's jump to our feet and let's sing. Here we go.
Oh, come.
we couldn't just end on that note. We need a little bit of fire back in the room. So we're going to clap our hands and we're going to sing this song. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the order, and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. So we say, go,
go,
tell it on the mountain.
Tell it on the mountain.
Be back next week. I hope you have